Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
This morning, we are going to be hearing the message from Mike Haynes. Mike has been a longtime friend of Pastor Fred's and a colleague in prison ministry. He has a call on his life and will bless us today with his teaching gift.
Help me on my journey home. Jesus came to a man one day, spit on the ground and he made some clay, anointed that blind man with that clay. He saw clearly right away,
sowing in love,
reaping in the spirit. Preach a little louder so I can hear it.
I'm going to talk about the principle of sowing and reaping in the scripture that I want to use as the foundation is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Reading from the NIV, Galatians 7, 8. From the NIV, it reads this way. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And the one who sows to please the sinful nature from the nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Now, the scripture outlines the principle of how God exercises his sovereign will in the world. This principle sets the standard for how God will respond to prayer and how he meets the needs of us as his children. This scripture really forms the basis for how God will bless his people, how he deals with the world at large. It is the scripture that shows us that if we walk according to this principle, God has set in place certain conditions that will allow the blessings of God to flow in every aspect of our life. And so this thing is a principle. If we know God's principles, then we'll know God's will, and then we'll know how God deals with us. The principle of sowing and reaping. You will reap what you sow. Your sowing determines your reaping. Your planting determines your harvest. What you plant, you will harvest. No matter what you plant, whatever you put in the ground, whatever seed you use, and we'll talk a little bit about seed, whatever seed you use and the kind of ground that you plant it in, you're going to reap something. It is a law that cannot be broken. So God operates by this principle. And this is the reason why he operates by principle and principles in general, is that God wants you to be able to predict him. We think that God is unpredictable. God doesn't want to be unpredictable to his children. In fact, he wants to be predictable, and he wants you to see his consistency. Amen. He is not inconsistent.
That's right.
God is always consistent in what he says and what he does. He is consistent in his operations with men. So what is the principle of sowing and reaping? First, we got to look at the definition of what it means to sow. To sow simply means to plant. And we can plant by scattering on the ground to produce a crop. So we can normally look at this in terms of a farming term. It's really the notion of sowing is a farming term. Basically, it says in order to produce something that you want, first you got to invest in something. And you got to put it in the ground. You got to plant it in order to reap what you want, in order to get what you want from it. So you have to first have to invest in what you want, let it grow to produce what you want produced. It also says this, and this is an interesting thing, the amount that you get back is based upon how much you plant. The amount you get back, if you want something, you want a big harvest, if you want to reap big, you got to plant a lot in order to reap a big harvest. To reap means to get a return, simply means to get a return on what you planted when you sowed. It means to get a harvest on what was planted. Again, the harvest will be in direct proportion to what you sowed, what you planted. Now, the principle of sowing and reaping simply says that what you sow, you will reap. Now, we need to think about what we're sowing in order to understand what we will reap. If you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. If you sow wheat, you're going to reap wheat. You can't sow corn and get wheat. God does not change the circumstances for us. He sets the rules to govern us and to direct us. We must follow the rules in order to produce the blessing that he desires for us. He desires blessings for us. God desires to bless his children. He desires for us to walk in the things that he has set for us. He desires for us to have victory. He wants to give us a crop of victory over trials and tribulations and circumstances, diseases and sickness. He wants to solve all our financial problems. He wants to solve our relationship problems. But he can't do any of this stuff if we are not sowing the right thing. See, the way we sow our seed really stops the hand of God from blessing us as he desires. That scripture that we read said, God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he meet. That word mock means this. You know, God cannot be defied. God cannot be ridiculed. When you mock and you ridicule God, when you try to act like the devil and expect God to bless you. When you live in sin and expect to be blessed because of your rebellion. Know what God said? God said, do you think I'm a fool? You're mocking me. You're saying, God, I want you to bless me, but I'm not going to do anything that you tell me. I'm not going to walk in obedience unto you. I want you to bless me, Lord, but I'm not going to follow your principles. God, I want you to do this great thing for me, but I'm not going to invest any seed in the harvest. I just want the harvest to grow, and I want it to be a blessing. God says, you're mocking me. I will not be mocked. When you and I violate principle and pray for blessings, we are mocking God. If you sow in disobedience, you're going to reap punishment for your disobedience. Simple as that. If you sow obedience, you're going to reap a reward for your obedience. If you sow the seed of obedience, the harvest of reward comes. If you say, I'm just going to obey God, whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to walk in that thing. God says, you don't have to pray for me to do something on your behalf. It will happen because of your obedience unto me. Because you sow obedience. Doors will open up to you because you sow obedience. You will experience God's blessing. Some of you are expecting blessings when in fact you're getting curses because you're sowing seed that pushes God to allow the curses to come into your life. He has to let the course of disobedience have its play in your life until you come to the point that you got to change your seed and you got to start planting some good seed. See, God will allow a saint to walk in a curse if he walks in disobedience. Doesn't want to do that, but he'll allow it. Well, what is the seed that we sow to produce blessing? What is the seed that we sow to produce blessings? Well, let's look at the word seed. The word seed means beginning, origin. As one of the descriptive words in it, really, is the word principle. So seed in and of itself means principle. The seed is the foundation substance. It's the first cause of everything. You got to have a seed in order to produce a harvest. The seed is what you have before you have anything. You cannot plant or sow anything without a seed. Therefore, to produce anything, you must first have a seed of whatever you need in order to produce what you want. This is the principle of the kingdom of God. God gives each of us many seeds. These seeds are principles that govern our life. Everyone born are born with seeds given to them by God, and God expects us to use those seeds to produce a crop for him. However, seeds grow. They need a few things. They need a little water and a little fertilizer. Therefore, God has given us the water of his word and the fertilizer of the Holy Spirit so that the seed that he has planted in us can grow, increase. The seed also needs good ground in order to grow. But here's something interesting that God does not select the ground. He lets us to select the ground that's going to grow. He lets us prepare the ground that the seed is going to be planted in. Therefore, it is critical, it is absolutely critical that we choose the right ground on which to sow our seed so that we can reap the harvest that is pleasing to God. Now, there are two types of seed that are available to man. There is natural seed and there's spiritual seed. This is what natural seed, we all have abundance. Every man have abundance of natural seed. God gave us natural seed. Here's the natural seed: intelligence, reason, emotions, feelings, self-will, which is the ability to make decisions, human ability in action. God has placed that in every one of us. Those are natural seeds that we can use to exploit, to produce a harvest. Then there's spiritual seed. And all those who are born again have spiritual seed. That is the ability to pray, have faith, walk in obedience, walk in joy. So if you have prayer, you have faith, you have obedience, and you're able to walk in joy, you have spiritual seed. You can take the spiritual seed and you can plant and produce a spiritual harvest. How do we plant these seeds to produce the harvest that we want to have? First thing, you have to plant the right seed in the right ground to produce the harvest. You have to produce the right seed in the right ground to produce the harvest. Many of us have been planting the wrong seed in the wrong ground, and we're not getting a harvest, and we're blaming God for our lack of harvest. 1 Corinthians 15, 37-38 says this. It says, when you sow, do not plant the body that will be, but just the seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body that he has determined to each kind of seed. He gives his own body. To produce the blessings, you must first sow the right seed in the right ground. Now, some of us have been trying to sow natural seed to produce a spiritual harvest. We've been trying to sow natural seed to produce a spiritual harvest. Now, when we sow a natural seed, for instance, we can never produce a spiritual harvest. Natural seed will produce prosperity, but not security. Natural seed will produce fame, but not remove loneliness. Natural seed will produce relationships, but it won't produce love. And so when we sow natural seed, trying to produce those things we want, for instance, we want security. We don't want to be free from loneliness. We want to walk in love. We will never produce those things because we're using the wrong seed. Without Christ, if you use natural seed, you never will produce a spiritual harvest. Natural seed will never produce anything of spiritual value. That is why we are so frustrated, angry, because we can't get lasting results. We work and we make money, but we don't feel secure. We drift from relationship to relationship. We can't find love. Life produces no satisfaction. Everything that we have, you know, we have it in a natural sense, but we're really trying to produce something spiritual, and we can't get it because we have the wrong seed. So we say, if we sow to the flesh, we will reap to the flesh. All we would ever get from anything of the flesh is the flesh. So in Galatians 6:8 says, the one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Those who sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Living a life according to the sinful nature produces a crop of destruction, a life that is unfulfilled, that finally leads to death. Living a life according to the Spirit leads to life, and it leads to fulfilling your eternal purpose that God has established for you. Proverbs 11 verse 8 says, the wicked man earns deceptive wages. Why? Because he's wicked. The wicked man will earn deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Amen. What you plant, guess what? You deserve. What you plant, you deserve. Now, some of us, when we are dealing with issues, we got trials and situations in our life, we don't know what's going on, it's simply because you need to ask yourself, well, what have I been planting that causing all of this mess in my life?
That's right.
Is there something that I am reaping because of what I've been sowing? I find that when there's mess around me, it's because I sowed some mess. Job 4:8 says this. He says, as I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. Let's say that you're using the right seed for the right ground, but your crop is small, and you're still not producing the abundance that you require and that God wants you to have. That's probably just due to the fact that you are not using enough seed to produce the harvest. Some of us only want a little bit of God. Only a little bit of God. We want God to perform for us. You say, but we don't want to perform for God. We want God to perform for us, but we don't want to perform for God. We just want a little bit of God. Just a little bit. And the scriptures say plainly what happens when we only want a little bit. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly, well what? Reap sparingly. If you're just getting a little, it's because you're just planting a little. You want just a little bit of God, just enough so that you don't, so nobody don't think that you're fanatical. Just a little bit of, just a little bit to have an appearance. But see, that's all you have is an appearance. See, this country is a manifestation of this. This country really is like this. We took God out of our schools. You see, because we don't want to do the principles of God, and we don't understand why there's so much confusion and killing going on in the schools. See, we took the word of God and we're trying to strip it from our society, and we can't understand why the abortion rate goes up. You know, we can't understand why there's divorce. We can't understand why there's so many people committing adultery, and there's fornication, and there's homosexuality. We did all these things, and we wonder, we say all of these things is okay, we can allow it, and then we want to understand why God would allow this nation to have a 9/11. We say all that stuff is okay, but we say, God, why did you let 9/11 happen? Is it possible that 9/11 is a result of a seed or seeds we have sown? Maybe we're in this economic situation because of the seeds of materialism that we've been sowing. Right. Maybe we got this economic thing because of the seeds. Maybe the health care is an indication because we have not taken care of these temples, and so we got a health care problem. Maybe the problem is that the seeds of excess, overeating, or whatever we do in order to get in the health situation we are is a direct result of not doing the right thing in terms of the seed that we've been planting. We want God to protect us from our enemies, but at the same time, we allow our enemies to come through the back door. Nobody likes to hear, but it is true. As a nation, we are reaping what we have sowed. We can kick God out of society and expect society to be blessed as a society. How is that possible that God will bless us when we've kicked him out of society? And here's the thing that's interesting. You know why we're still here? You know why we haven't been conquered? You know why we haven't gone into social disruption? It's because of the prayers of God's people. This country is being sustained by the prayers of God's people and also God's purpose for this nation in the last days. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, says this. This is a scripture that really illustrates this motion of seed. The same day Jesus went out of the house, he sat by the lake, and such a large crowd gathered around him. He got into the boat and he sat in it. And while all of the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, and he gives them the parable of the farmer. He said, the farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. He says, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But while the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered before they even took root. Some seed fell among thorns, which grew and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30, what was sown. And he says, "Is he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is really saying here. Who you have, let him hear." Now, what is the goal? The goal here is to produce a crop. A crop is what God wants. It is a life that is productive for God, and the one that is living in righteousness. The seeds of God can be sown on many types of ground, and we see some mentioned here. We see on the path, on the rocky places, among the thorns, and on the good ground. If you and I, see, as you and I can determine the type of ground that we want to plant our seed in, and then when we make that determination, the ground that we use to plant the seed will determine how much of a harvest we're going to get. If your ground is like the path, it means simply this. It means that your heart is hard so that the seed does not even penetrate enough to take root. It means that your heart is filled with so much of evil, so much of sin, that Satan can easily come and steal the seed from you. When the seed falls on rocky ground, the seed does not even penetrate deep enough to take root. This is like someone getting head knowledge, but does not have a heart for God. When that head knowledge is challenged by the circumstances of life, they quickly abandon the seed and they attempt to use their natural abilities to solve their problems. We fall back on the natural. This Christian stuff doesn't work. It's a head thing. It's not in the heart. And so therefore, we try to find a natural solution when deep down, it's a spiritual thing we're trying to take care of. When God's seed falls on thorny ground, it never really takes root because it's not the priority. It's not the priority. Your ambition, your materialism, your self-centered lifestyle prevents the seed from growing and producing what God allows it to produce. But when it falls on good ground, which is when a heart is prepared to receive the word, it produces a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. The amount of crop produced will depend upon how much we surrender and yield to the fullness of the word of God that is being planted in us. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So we can be a 30-fold Christian. We can be a 60-fold Christian. We can be a 100-fold Christian. The type of Christian you become is based on how much of the Lord you want and how strong you're willing to run after him. Let me give you an example of these three. Let's give you an example. A 30-fold Christian looks at what God can do for them and they are expecting a reward. They look at what God can do for them and they look at him expecting a reward. That's a 30-fold Christian. They look at, he's going to bless me. I want to be saved so that he can bless me. I want blessings from God. And God does bless them. He is a God of blessings. They look at what God can do for them, and they live expecting a reward. The 60-fold Christian looks at what God can do for, the 60-fold Christian look at what they can do for God. And they work for God, and they want to be used by God, and they are satisfied when God is using them. And they are very aggressive. They enjoy performing great tasks for God. They love getting up preaching. They love doing great works. They love being involved in stuff. They cannot stand to be set on the side. They cannot stand to be not being used by God. They say, I got to get out there. I got to be used. I got to do something for God. That's a 60-fold Christian. Powerful individuals. But what is a 100-fold Christian? What is a 100-fold Christian? Well, a 100-fold Christian love God and his word, and they are surrendered completely to him. And it does not matter whether or not they're even used by God. They enjoy his presence. They can worship him no matter what. They are in a hot love affair with God. If he tells them to do something, they'll do it. But if he says, I don't want you to do anything, they don't get upset. They just want to be in relationship with him. They love to worship God. They love to be in worship with him. A hundredfold Christians are worshipers. They worship God in spirit and in truth. The circumstances, trials, tribulations doesn't matter to them because they're in a worship, they're in a love relationship. Man, they love the Lord. Lord, I'll go if you tell me to go. I'll stay if you tell me. I'll be satisfied no matter what condition I'm in, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how easy it is, what you want me to do, what you don't want me to do, you want me to say, I'll say, what me don't say, I won't. I'm satisfied in your presence. Able to be used in no matter what. If God says, okay, you, I want you to go to Russell Road, and your job is to clean the toilets in the bathroom. Say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll clean those toilets. Hallelujah. Get in there and say, where are you going? I'm going to the church to clean the toilets. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Tell him, come on.
I know what that's like because I've cleaned the toilets.
I have too.
See, they are totally broken before the Lord. And they serve him in whatever capacity. That's really what God is looking for. God, listen, God wants to his seed to penetrate you so much that you can say, Lord, it doesn't matter what you tell me to do. I don't have to do the big thing. You know, most of us in this room may never, we think that the only thing we can do for God is get up here and preach the word. You know, that's really sad because that means we don't do nothing because not everybody up can be able to get up here and do this. But there's so much to be done for the kingdom. So much work to be done. You got so much in you. You got so much seed in you that needs to be planted that God wants to use you to accomplish a great work. Your work begins out there. It begins in your family, begins on a job, begins in the marketplace. What God has for you may not be here in the confines of the structure of Russell Road. But what God may have for you is that I want you to go out there on the corner and witness to your neighbor. I want you to go over here and I want you to set something up for here. I want you to impact this neighborhood, impact this community. I want you to get elected and get in the office and be in government and impact the government for it may be anything. I want you to take and make money and distribute your money for the kingdom of God. I want you to go to school, get in school, go on that college campus and be able to articulate what is the doctrines of the faith. Whatever it is, God says, you ought to be just open, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I want to be a hundredfold Christian. Whatever you want to do with me, that's fine. Let your seed find its place in my heart. Let that seed grow in my heart. That's what God, the principle of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you will reap. If we don't reap anything, it's because we didn't sow anything. If we reap something that we don't want, it's because we sowed something we shouldn't have sown. We got to be careful of the seed. Here's what I say. You know, if you want the plant, go to a good place to buy your seed. I think you got a good place here to get some seeds so that you can do some planting. Come to the source here, get your seed. Learn your seed. Let the seed of God's word be planted in you, and then you can be used by God to plant seed on the outside and to make disciples as God has called us in our commission. We can then flow under authority. We can do exactly what God has designed us to do.
Sowing in love,
reaping in the spirit. Preach a little louder so I can hear it. Sing me a good old gospel song.
You have been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.